So as Mr. Delamater asked what was on our mind this week, I'm going to ask, how was our week? How was our week in God's eyes? Did we glorify God as the children sang today? What was our focus on all the things that we encountered? Because there was things on our mind. Let's turn over to John chapter 5. And we can ask ourselves, did we please God this past week? Do we want to please God in the upcoming week? John chapter 5, verse 41. Jesus says, I did not receive honor from men. What Jesus Christ is talking about here is he's not looking to please man. He's not here to seek his own will, to make himself look good, to take the credit for the things that he does that are pleasing to God. So in all that we're involved in our endeavors in our life, who are we trying to please? It's a question that we can ask ourselves. In verse 42, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. So he's saying here to the Jews that are persecuting him, look what you're doing. You're not seeking the Father's will. You're hearing things, you're doing things as it continues down in the next few verses. You want to hear what you want to hear. And if it fits your belief, then you're fine with that. But here I'm coming, teaching you a different way, and you don't want to hear it. Let's turn over a couple chapters to verse 7, or chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 14. Talking about now in the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know the letters and not being taught? And what's Jesus Christ's response? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. It's not mine. But it is him who sent me. What glory are we seeking in our lives? What's on our mind and the things that we do? Continuing on, if anyone desires to do his will, talking about doing God's will, he shall know of the doctrine whether it is of God or I speak of myself. He who speaks of himself seeks his own glory. If we're not going to listen, just as the Jews, as Jesus Christ is telling them, if you're not going to listen to the words that I'm saying that are coming from the Father, then you are seeking your glory. And what do the children sing today? About praising and honoring and glorifying God. That's what we were created to do. This was in that message. But he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So if we respond to what Jesus Christ is saying, just as Jesus Christ set the example to do the Father's will, we will live God's glory. We will seek his will. We will know that we'll need to change, that we have a nature that's contrary to God, and that we need to cry out to him. Why? As Jesus Christ said, no one can respond unless you have the love of God. My wife this week was talking about, lately there's been so many people that have been so nice lately. The neighbors have been nice. Our tree fell down. They come over, they chopped it up, and they hauled it off. Got neighbors knocking on the door, talking about our yard, asking if they can have some dates, and you know, what do we do with our dates, and just conversation. We had someone come over to our house and fix the dishwasher, and such a nice individual, such a nice man, my wife was saying. And just before he's leaving, he's asking, well, hey, your warranty is up on your dishwasher in 30, 60 days, and what you need to do is you need to call me back in a couple weeks and I'll take this part out and you can save it, put it in your garage and get a new one. You know, don't worry about it. Everyone does it all the time. So we can see these people that are nice, but are they glorifying God or are they glorifying themselves? Romans 3:23, we don't need to turn there. And we can ask ourselves, what glory is on our minds? Romans 3:23 says, all sin, talking about all human beings since Adam and Eve, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all break God's laws. But for those that are called and have God's love, been baptized and received the Holy Spirit, it's how we respond when we break those laws. It's the mentality that we don't want to sin, but we know that we do. We know that Adam and Eve were created. They were given physical. Adam was given a body. He was given physical life. We know that they sinned. And we know that a Savior had to come. And when he came and he gave his life, he was able to create a new creation from that physical life through those that God is calling now and into the future. We all have that opportunity, not just everyone right now. So today, I want to talk about, are we giving God glory? What is glory? What does it mean to have God's glory? And how do we grow in glory? So first of all, I'd like to read to you from the complete word of the Bible Study Dictionary of what their definition is of glory. It's a long list here. It says to think or suppose. It's a thought or an opinion, especially a favorite human opinion. In the second sense, it's talking about reputation, praise, and honor. And it can be this praise and honor in a false sense. And it can be talking about a true sense. Can also mean splendor, light, perfection, and reward. Referring to a man, his human opinion, it's often based on air. Talking about glory. Also, one's pursuit of one's self-worth is described by glory. But there is a glory of God, as it continues, that must be absolute, true, and changeless. God's opinion marks the true value of things as they appear in the eternal mind. And God's favorable opinion is true glory. Goes on to say, glory is the true appreciation of God or his things. The glory of God must be his unchangeable essence. Giving glory to God is subscribing to him his full recognition. His full recognition. It's often spoken as of honor, duty that is rendered, praise or applause. Externally, it means dignity, splendor, glorious, brightness, like the sun, luster, or dazzling light. So is this what we think about when you hear the word glory? God says we are to grow in glory. So God's glory is living God's standards. It's giving what God is asking of us. Even when we sin, we don't always do things right. When we sin, there's a response to what we're supposed to do when we sin. Feeling remorse, getting on our knees, asking for forgiveness, and showing action and showing love if we sinned against an individual. This is what God desires. Glory is perfect and reveals God to us if we looked at glory in the essence of God. So God's glory encompasses all that is excellent in the divine nature of God. It coincides with God's revelation of who he is. What does it mean to have God's glory? I've titled this message today, Living Godly Glory. And I took some of this information from a sermon I heard this week by Roy Holiday titled How to Have the Glory of God. If you want to go through that and look through that, he goes into it an hour and 10 minutes. So I'm hoping to finish in 30 minutes. So he goes a different direction than I'm going as well, too. So I think it'd be good. I haven't heard too many sermons lately on glory. So God has offered us knowledge of who he is and what he is doing. He's opened our minds through our Lord and Savior as he's drawn us to our Lord and Savior. And he gives us the opportunity to live his way of life. So we can ask ourselves, do we grasp it in our everyday life? Because that's what we've been called to do. To focus on everything we do, in every situation we're in. Let's turn over to John chapter 14. It's impossible to do this ourselves. Totally impossible. The world can't do it. They can think they can. You know, God wants us to see what sin is. God wants us to see that we're sinners. Yes, he doesn't want us to sin, and that is true. But the world, you could ask people in the world, are they sinners? No, I'm not a sinner. God has opened our eyes to help us to see that we're sinners. John chapter 14, verse 23, we've been called to be connected with God here. Jesus answered and said to him, If a man loves me, he will keep my word. So it's keeping God's commandments. And God, Jesus Christ, is the word. He's the logos. He's speaking here for God. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Means we will display their glory in our lives. We have that calling, that opportunity. So I think when we go day by day, week by week, situation by situation, whatever circumstance we're in, we should focus in every circumstance, every situation, whether it's a few seconds, a few minutes, or whatever. I tried doing that this week, and it's like, wow, I fall short. But it's given me a focus to really focus and pray more throughout the day and really strive and drive to have God's glory displayed in me, where I can be humble and give him all the credit and step back. But going on, he who does not love me does not keep my words. It means we don't keep the words that Jesus Christ is speaking. And what are we doing when we don't do that? We seek our own glory. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So Jesus Christ is setting an ultimate example. He's always, always focusing on the Father. I have spoken these things to you, being present with you. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. So it's the power of God living in us, as we're given that opportunity, that does that. And eventually for all mankind. So Jesus Christ's message, as he came, and is trying to tell the people, to show them their sins, which they recognize and see, they did not recognize and see that they had sin. Jesus Christ was trying to say, hey, I'm not here to tell you my words. I'm here to tell you the Father's words. I'm setting an example to you to listen to the Father. Don't do your will. I'm here and I'm not doing my will. I'm teaching the words that you know. They knew the law, but they just could not get past that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus Christ set the example. He set the example for us to follow. And I think we can focus and meditate and have that on our mind and glorifying God throughout the week. Let's turn over to, I'll just read it, showing here that Jesus Christ reflecting on God's glory, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Why? Because he sought the Father's will. Whose will are we pursuing during the week? Whose will? Let's break it down to the minutes, to the circumstances that we encounter throughout the day. And when we do that, it just really helps us to see the situation so much clearer. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And as we are focusing in living and know that we are being required and created to give God glory as He created us, and He's offering us to grow in His glory, to maintain a measure of His glory now in this physical life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Here we see we have the knowledge of God offered to us through Jesus Christ and His example. For it is God who said, out of darkness, light shall shine. So out of darkness, and it's talking about the world, that there is going to be people that are going to respond to this calling. Not everyone called is going to respond. But those who respond are going to reflect the glory of God. They're going to understand that they've been called to give God glory. Who's shown in their hearts to give the brightness of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we know where that comes from our high priest. We are to be a light to glorify God by living His way of life in us. Let's turn over to, we're still in 2 Corinthians, let's turn over to chapter 3. It talks about this. And it is so amazing. You know, we talk about this and we talk about this. And it's, you know, I had a different subject to speak on this week and going through it. And it's like, well, I changed topics. And going through the years, going to different church areas, going to the Feast of Tabernacles, it's amazing to see that how many people do not understand this. Do not understand that we cannot try to live God's way of life on our own. God commands us to keep the Sabbath, to keep it in assembly. We had people at the feast, after the feast, who kept the Sabbath in their hotel room. We had people at the feast talking about going to other congregations during the week to give God glory with other congregations who believe different, who think they're glorifying God, but they're not. So this is something I think that we need to understand, that we cannot give glory without fully surrendering ourselves and allowing God to live in us. Humbling ourselves, asking God to help us to see what we need to do to change. And when those thoughts come into our mind, to the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to respond. There is a resurrection coming, a condemnation. And we are being judged now. What is on our minds? What are we doing? How are we acting? We are giving the opportunities to change today. And I'm so thankful for God's mercy because we all fall short. I fall so short in being a person, a father, a husband. But we have this opportunity to God to help us to see our sins, that we can see that we can apologize and change and go on and ask for God forgiveness and grow in this together. And this is what it's talking about here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with our face having been unveiled, meaning God has unveiled our minds. He's given us that opportunity when He calls us. But we need to keep it unveiled and respond to God. We need to be seeing growth. We need to be seeing growth in our lives. So when we ask, how was your week this week? We ask, we say some different things. Well, we should be able to respond. Well, did you have any spiritual growth this past week? You know, get our minds clicking, get our minds thinking, because that's what we're created to do. To give God glory in everything. Continuing, having beheld the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, meaning God has opened the scriptures to us to understand through his ministry, through the Holy Spirit, are being changed in the same image from glory, a physical glory, having been, as the song we just read coming up, we are doomed, but to glory, a spiritual development. That's what we've been called. We've been given this awesome opportunity, even as by Lord's Spirit. And we know that over in Colossians chapter 3:9, we don't need to turn over there, we've heard that we are a new man. We're being created. We're supposed to come out of the old man and be a new man. We can ask ourselves. Don't need to go into particulars, but just asking ourselves to focus on and maybe get our minds, you know, spinning. It's like thinking about the relationships that we had last week. Do we have different types of relationships? Do we act differently with different individuals? You know, maybe we act differently with employees compared to the boss. We're a little bit more friendly with the boss because, you know, he has the paycheck. He gives us the paycheck. We can get a raise from him, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the advancement is through him. You know, something to think about. Jesus Christ said, I honor no man. I don't look to please any man. I'm here to please God. So what are our actions? We can think about that. You know, how do we act towards our mate when we're alone or when we're with someone? Is it different? If it is, we need to be focusing on that. Traffic brings the worst out in people. So when we're in traffic, and when we sin, we make a mistake, we can, guess what? Most people will not admit that they're wrong. We can. I'm sorry. And maybe we can do better next time. So to have God's glory, there needs to be a change in who we are. We've been given that opportunity. Now we need to respond. And we can also look at situations of other people in this world, but not look at them to condemn them. We can look at what people are doing and see the pain and the hurt and say, I don't want to be a part of that. And we can give God the glory and we can thank him for the situation that he's called us to at this time. And we can sigh and cry, as we heard earlier in the first message, about what they are going through. So the third point, how do we grow in glory? Again, as we've been talking about, it is a connection with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And if we want to be glorifying God, living glory every day, we want to be doing the Father's will. And that starts with putting them first. Putting them first in everything we do. We can get up in the morning and we can put them first. We can put God first in the morning. We can put God first later. We can put God first throughout the day. I'm talking about putting God first throughout the day in every situation. So if we leave the house not praying, we've already missed the ball by not putting God first. So God has given us the opportunity. He's given us a new life, his Spirit, to be a part of his family, to be the bride when Christ returns. So again, we are to be pleased God by the way we live. So when we look back at our week and we look forward to the new week, we can ask ourselves, will I glorify God? Have I glorified God? What can I do to do better? And we can repent and ask God to help us. And when we see the things that we did in glorifying God, we can get on our knees and give him the praise and the credit and the thanks and not take any credit for it. Just as we talked about, just like little children, our little children sometimes disappoint their parents. And just like us, we also sometimes can disappoint our Father in heaven. But God wants us to be converted and to recognize that and humble ourselves and to continue to reach out to him. And that's what God wants. That's a part of glorying God as well. Recognizing and seeing when we're wrong. Having the humble attitude. Wanting to change. Wanting to see where we're wrong. How many of us do that? I want to see where I'm wrong. What were the children singing today? We're created to give God the praise and the glory. That's what we're created for. To do that, we have to ask God, help us to see where I'm wrong. And then we need to respond. And by doing that, we're seeking God's glory. And we know we've had sermons on asking, seeking, and knocking. And going through that and looking at that as the spiritual aspect about growing spiritually. And I'm going to turn over to, because I know Mr. Elliott and some of you have spoken on the model prayer. And we've talked about it every so often, and that's good. That's our outline. That's our outline that we'd be following. And as we pray this outline, and as we follow this with this in mind and glorifying God, we can grow in a deeper understanding of this prayer. It can expound on it and grow in it. And we have, as it starts in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, it tells us how not to pray. We're not going to go through the sections, but Jesus Christ is saying, this is how not to pray. So if we go through that model prayer and don't want to listen to that, who are we glorifying? Not glorifying God. We talked about what glory is. We're glorifying ourselves. Chapter 8, therefore do not be like them, talking about what we just talked about. Don't pray like these individuals. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. So he's saying, in this manner, pray. Don't glorify yourself, glorify the Father. That's how Jesus Christ has come. And everything he did is to glorify the Father, to do the Father's will. Do we want to do the Father's will? Jesus Christ is saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Starting out, glorifying God, giving him the credit, thanking him for who he is, for this awesome calling that we just went through. The opportunity to know God, to be called by God, to live his way of life. That we can become more like him. That's awesome. Your kingdom come. And this is just an outline. You can expound on this. And this is not just everything here. But your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us more of your understanding. Your kingdom come. That royal law that you've given to me, given to us, I want to grow in it. I want to expound in it. I want to live it. I want to be a part of it. Continue to help us and guide us and direct us. Because that's what that is. The kingdom is talking about God's royal law. Partly. As we continue, give us this day our daily bread. So if we're looking at this model prayer, and we want to focus on the spiritual, we want to be focusing on where that comes from, Jesus Christ. So in this particular outline, we want to focus on Jesus Christ. So we can now glorify God and give him the credit through our Lord and Savior. Because it's through Jesus Christ, it's not through ourselves that we can forgive others. It's impossible. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive others our debtors. We should come to the point in our lives, help me, forgive me of my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. Forgive me just as I forgive others. That helps us to really want to show kindness and love and allow God to live in us so we can give of ourselves to forgive others. And when we focus on that and through the situations throughout the day, we recognize and see where we really fall short, and God have mercy. God have mercy. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Don't allow us to go back into Satan's ways, into his world. Deliver us from him. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the royal law that we want to be a part of forever and ever. Yours is the power and the glory forever and ever that we want to be a part of. You turn over to Revelation chapter 4, and it shows where we have angelic beings worshiping our God. Revelation chapter 4. You know, you can start in verse 6, continue in verse 8, and it talks about the creatures, the four living creatures, and that are there worshiping God, and it goes on and continue to worship God and gave him glory in verse 9 and honor and thanks to him. And why? As you continue on, verse 11, O Lord, you are worthy to receive glory. That is why. And honor and power, because you created all things. God is the only one who can create. God is the only one who has created. And for your will, you created all things, and for your will, they are and were created. Talking about the human beings. They were created to glorify you. They were created to know you, to be called by God, drawn to Jesus Christ, and to be a part of this glory, to be this light for others around us. So if we're glorifying God in our lives now, we will be glorified later. You don't need to turn over there, but we've all read it. Romans chapter 8, 17. It says, if we are children, and if we are God's children, that means we're responding to him, we're listening to our parents, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, so that if we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. And you see the description of Jesus Christ and his glory over in Revelation chapter 1. And talks about over in 1 John 3, 2, that as if we're living that glory, we will be God. We'll be like God, still doing the Father's will. We will have that glory. So are we fulfilling God's glory in our lives? I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as we begin to wrap this up. Asking ourselves, and that's the main focal point today, is to get that on our minds. Are we fulfilling God's glory in our lives? Because that's what we've been created for. That's what we've been called to do. We have an example here of Paul, and I think it fits here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he says, all that we do should be to the glory of God. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, he's not saying here, asking for eat or drink. He says, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church, or to the church of God, to anyone, anywhere, any place, any time. Now you can go over, we just read the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Model prayer is also over in Luke. Luke breaks down, give us this day our daily bread. You can do your own study on it. Maybe someone wants to speak on it. But Luke says day by day. Three different Greek words. Matthew, day, is one Greek word. Luke, give us day by day our daily bread. It's still talking about the very day. Luke, from what I understand, is breaking it down in two 12-hour periods. Don't just go to bed and forget about God. We can meditate about God. That's a good place to meditate. We wake up at night. We go to the bathroom sometimes at night, get a drink at night. But it's a 24-hour time period. We don't need to be worrying about 2 days from now, next week, about my spiritual life, our spiritual life. Let's focus on it daily throughout the day is what I believe it's talking about. Continuing on in verse 33, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many so that they may be saved. Not that we go and disobey God to please man. Just as Jesus Christ said, I honor no man. We are to honor no man. We are to honor God. By not honoring a man, we don't take any glory, any credit for anything that we do that is good. We don't seek gain, per personally gain of ourselves. We want others to gain. That's what Jesus Christ came and did and set the example. And Paul is saying, I'm following Christ. Follow me, I'm following Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, in the next chapter, be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. So in conclusion, I hope today I was able to bring across to all of us the importance of giving God glory in our daily lives. Focusing on this past week, but and what we did and what we could have done, but not holding on to that. Looking at the week going forward, day by day, situation by situation. And every situation we can look at and recognize and see and focus and ask the question, am I glorifying God right now? Jesus Christ sought the Father's glory. That's what he did. That's the example he set. He lived God's glory. John chapter 17, he talks about wanting to be reconnected with God, having the full glory again. Same thing that we're being offered as well. And God and Jesus Christ are pulling for us. Nothing can compare in this lifetime now to what they want to give us. They want to give us so much. Do we want to give back by reflecting their glory in us? It all hinges on what we do today. Let's turn over to you in the last scripture of today in 1 Corinthians. And we can look at this on living God's glory today and becoming a new man, a new woman. And we can go forward today and grow in his love. And so when someone asks us, how was your week? And in our mind, we can know, I'm growing. I'm growing. I'm surrendering to God. I am not seeking my glory. I'm seeking his glory. And this is what we've been called to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And we can reflect on that. We've been created by God to do his will. And he gives us his help to be able to do this will. So as I read this last two verses, I just want us to reflect on having a good week every day throughout the day. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.